Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to this episode of my mini series of Chakra Chats. And this episode, we're going to look into our creativity and so taking our attention to the sacral chakra that lives in our hips, our pelvic area, beneath the belly button. Here in our sacral chakra not only lies our creativity, but our joy, our playfulness, our fun, and also our desires, our passions, and our needs. It's a really juicy energy center, and my guest definitely brings that passion and that energy. Today I am chatting with the brilliant Amelia Nordhook. Amelia is an artist and she's also a founder of several nonprofits. Plus, she has a great podcast herself. I just love the stories that Amelia has. She has had such a rich life. One might say a disproportionate number of adventures. Amelia was living in Hawaii when I first met her at the beginning of this year, and then she was in Iowa, and she's currently based in Amsterdam. I met her on an online course that we were both doing, and she is an absolute powerhouse of a woman, a goddess in her own words, and mine actually, and pulls no punches when she's expressing herself. So be warned, there are a couple of sweary moments, so just brace yourself if you're sensitive to that or you've got your kids around. And I wanted to talk to her in relation to the sacral chakra and the creativity that lies there, about why our creativity is so important to every single one of us. She is currently developing a fascinating course called The Creative Leader, Leading with Imagination and Artistry, which is all about inspiring your creative wisdom as a leader. I knew that Amelia would bring a really interesting perspective to the ideas around our creative energy, and she certainly delivered. We met on Zoom and we've been chatting a bit before, having a catch up, and the podcast kind of started before I gave Amelia a proper introduction. So I'm going to use Amelia's introduction that she uses on her podcast, which is called Random Acts of Living, and simply say, let's get stuck into the meat of it. Okay. So how do you want me to describe you, just by the way? What do I call you? You are how do you describe yourself at the moment?
Goddess. I don't know.
Perfect. Okay. Creative goddess. That's what you should be known as. Okay.
You know, I think it's so funny because right now I just feel like I'm flying by the seat of my pants on so many levels and in so many ways. And every time like somebody asks me, like, what do you do? And I have to answer that question. My first response is, I don't know. I don't know what I do. I do everything and yet nothing.
I am the ultimate existential being.
I know, it's so funny. And then you know, because it's so easy to want to like, well, we want to pigeonhole people, right? We need to define them and we need to put them in like a place. So I feel like right now there's no place for me. Like I don't have that place, right? Because I have been just, everything is so up in the air. And then when my dad passed away, so now it's been 2 months since he died. So, you know, I can talk about it without like bursting into tears most days, right? And and then, you know, like coming to like all of this stuff around, you know, watching my mom, you know, handling her loneliness and her grief and, you know, coming out of that and just then trying to figure out like, well, how do we make meaning of all this stuff that happened? And so for me, it's really important, like, you know, to get back into art making and to focus on, you know, creating this program that, you know, I'm creating for, you know, leadership development, using art making as the primary driver for that, because I believe that creativity is the basis of all things that humans have, maybe even some monkeys too.
Yes. And there's a lot of animals that are creative, aren't they? They look at the what is that beautiful bird that creates a little sort of collage to seduce its mate. Have you seen that? It's beautiful.
Right, right. But even those are still more, I think, based in like an instinct to collect things, you know, right, to do stuff like that. Like I don't know how much of that is actually like an intellect creating something.
But do you think that creativity, but does creativity have to be intellectual? Can it not be instinctual? Like a doodle? Is it, you know, like, because I know that you advocate the sort of the daily journaling, just like, just doodle, just whatever comes out. And that's not an intellectual, that's a mind freeing exercise, isn't it? That's that just sort of allows you to just like, whatever comes out, comes out.
Well, it allows you to let your brain and part of your brain kind of like be a little freer, right? And to daydream. So it's not like I feel like there's a difference between meditating, which is actually like a conscious emptying of the brain, right? It's like a being in that particular space where you're you know, trying to manage all the thoughts coming into your brain. Where I think that with having that aspect of daydreaming, and what I try to get people to do with the daily drawing meditation is to give yourself space so that you can like let that side of your brain wander and like have kind of a more expansive experience where you're not always having to, you know, it's not about shutting out the chatter, it's letting the chatter lead you where it might lead you, right? So it's like staring out the window and looking at the clouds and seeing, oh, that cloud looks like a pig, or that cloud looks like, you know, an angel, and then seeing, oh, and then that reminds you of something else. So it's not like in meditation where you try to, you know, shut that down and streamline it into silence. It's like letting that chatter lead you to places where you can experience something of the unexpected.
I think that the idea of with meditation, I think the idea that you have to just like find silence and find absolute quiet is slightly scary for a lot of people, and I think it's very, very difficult for the majority of people, and I think that whilst trying to just let the thoughts go by is something that is better for meditation than just trying to go, right, I must think of nothing, because then your brain just goes, starts to just spew out every last thing that you never really wanted to think about. So I think that there's actually a very similar aspect to your drawing meditations, which is just let the brain go, just let it go, let it loose, let it run. don't engage, just allow. And I think that there's a great amount of people who, when they meditate, they just allow, and they're just sort of, it's a focus, a concentration, and an allowing, that's that, rather than a just like a right, got to put the lid on everything and be absolutely silent. I mean, obviously that's where we all kind of want to get to when it comes to meditation, to find that absolute stillness, but it takes a lot of time and energy, well, not energy, but effort, should we say.
Well, that's why it's called a practice. It's called a practice.
It is. Yeah.
You know, because you have to practice to get to that point. But so that's just basically a little bit of the difference that I see. And I just wanted to, you know, to call that out, because I think that there can be, you know, anytime when you use the word meditation with, like, you know, daily drawing meditation, people will think, oh, it's going to be like this Zen Buddhist meditation. And, you know, I want to say, no, it's a little bit different. It's just basically, you know, giving yourself time to do something with your brain that connects you to your creativity. Because in all, that's the goal. Yeah. Like, I'm not concerned with, you know, like, I find drawing in a sketchbook when I have limited space and limited time to be one of the easiest ways that I can connect to my creativity. I can sit down anywhere. I have the sketchbook. I have the drawing utensils. I have what I need, and I can just take that time for myself. You know, as, you know, a sculptor, like, I, you know, I don't always have the setup for, you know, my clay or my wheel or, you know, all this. It's you know, it's more complex. So it's also more satisfying to me, right? Because then I can solve those creative problems that I love to solve through my artwork.
So the thing that I want to really discuss with you today, Amelia, is creativity and why it's so important. And I think there's a lot of people in this world who go, oh, I'm not creative, or I'm, you know, I can't draw, or I, you know, a lot of people told, you know, back then when they were sort of 14, 15, no, art's not for you. That I was certainly that person. I was told, you're not artistic. You know, those people over there, they can draw an orange that looks like an orange. You can't. So go and learn economics instead or something. But I now am really, you know, and especially we're looking at the sacral chakra today, which is our creative center. Now, our throat chakra is also our creative center, but the sacral chakra is the sort of the original one, because that is our place of creation. That is where we create new life within the sacral chakra. And it's where our passions lie. It's where our needs, our desires, our sensuality, our sensation, our pleasure, our joy, all of those things live in the sacral chakra's energy. And so creativity is a really key part of that, because you can attach creativity to all of those things. So how, you know, I wanted to talk to you because you teach people how to connect to their creativity. That is your thing. And, you know, you are, an artist, a very creative person. And so this is the sort of the pole around which I want to dance with you on this subject today. It's like, why is creativity so key to the human being? Why is creativity so important to us? Why is it so vital?
Well, my belief is that creativity is key to your ability to negotiate in this world, right? Just in general, you know, without having a certain sense of creativity. And this is what I tell people when they say, oh, I'm not creative. And I'm like, well, you have to be creative because you're like however old you are. So you had to problem solve a fuck lot to get to this point, right? You know, whether it's like crossing the street, whether it's like, you know, doing all these things. And there's always a point, even if you're a person who follows all the rules and you look up to like, oh, this tells me I need to do this thing this way. There's always going to be a moment when you're going to have to step outside of that box and figure out like a way around something, right? You're going to have to problem solve at some point in your life to get from point A to point B, whether that's actually a physical space or an emotional space or a mental space, like you will have to do that.
Yeah.
So I think that we don't necessarily see, you know, we haven't called that creativity in every, you know, in every instance. We've always looked at like, oh, you know, you're creative if you can draw, or you're creative if you can sing, or you're creative if you, you know, you're not creative if you can figure out how to get from, you know, one side of the city to the other side of the city without dying. But you are creative.
Yeah.
I tell you, every time I go out into the world and I have to use my GPS, I'm just like, oh my God. And like bike through the streets of Amsterdam, there's a lot of creativity that goes into that endeavor.
True. That is true.
You know? So I'm just like, every day I'm like, woo, I made it. Woo. You know, when I don't get hit by bicycles, when I don't hit bicycles, when I don't, you know, I'm not so much concerned about being yelled at or not yelled at anymore. I've come to terms with the fact that I will be yelled at because I will just do something stupid. But I think for me, like if we can define creativity as like the entirety of how we negotiate our personal selves in the world. Mm. I think that's more of a broader and more accurate description of it, right?
Yeah, it's a great description of it. Because most people, when you say, you know, are you creative? They instantly think, oh, you know, do I knit great things, or do I make pottery, or do I, you know, mm-hmm. people think about actually, you know, the definition of it as in creating a thing which is worthy of being looked at or used or something. But right. your definition is a much wider sense. I like that in that because you do have to be creative. As soon as you actually have to engage your brain to work out an issue, that is, mm-hmm. you're creating a solution. So a solution is just as creative as making a pot, I guess.
Absolutely. And you know, and I think that's why we look at the creativity of children and, you know, even great artists, like, you know, there's all sorts of very famous sayings by Picasso around being able to create like a child. And that's one of the things, are being able to draw like a child. But, you know, even before we have like really any verbal skills, we have to figure out how we're going to like create a solution and our little wobbly little lives.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and it's just around pooping and peeing at that point, but we have to figure that out. Right. So I think, you know, so we come into this world like fully, you know, developed in our creativity, because it's been, you know, hundreds of thousands of years that special unique talent has evolved in humanity. And then we come like perfectly formed with that. And then basically everyone tries to take that away from us. Our entire life is like trying to take our creativity and to mush it down to like, it fits into this little square or this little peg or this little round hole. Right. And so then you can't have too much creativity. And you have to have some creativity, and, you know, but it has to be like really well managed, right? We can't just like create in chaos. Well, this is like what society tells us. You can't just do that, because then you'll be like, you know, these crazy artists like Van Gogh, you know, you just can't, you know, have that much creativity. So, and I think even within the art world, my experience with the art world is like, you know, because art has become a business, that then it was very much put different parameters on what creativity can be commercially viable. So then it's like, so we go back to, let's talk about pottery for a minute. So, you know, like there's always this big thing around, is, you know, pottery and ceramics a craft or is it an art form? And people really love to discuss that, especially with potters, and just kind of put us in our little place, like, oh, you're making stuff that's utilitarian. That's so cute. And you're just, and like,
crafty, not arty.
Right, right. So it's always like, and when I was younger, you know, I just like kind of fought that because I, you know, didn't want to be seen as like a craftsperson, and I was a real artist. And I think it's this discussion that we get into that takes us away from the main core, again, the overarching true definition of what creativity is. I mean, come on. I can throw like a motherfucker. Like, give me a fucking break, people. Like, I look at people and I'm just like, you cannot make things like I can make stuff. Like, you want to play? I can make you a set of dishes in like 3 hours.
Yeah.
I'm done. You know, I'm like, tell me that's not creative, right? You know, and I look at like, you know, kids who can like sit down and do stuff in like minutes and like, and communicate very clearly with their creativity, like what they're feeling, what they want you to understand. Like, it's easy
yeah.
to do.
I mean, one thing that struck me recently is because, I don't know, on social media, you know, Instagram has these reels now, and TikTok is a massive thing, and it's supposedly for the kids. But, you know, if you spend, well, you try and spend 10 minutes, but you end up spending 40 minutes scrolling through these things. And there is a huge amount of creativity. Like, I sit there, and I would not have the first idea how to create a little 3 minute or 1 minute, whatever.
Yeah.
Video that's got that many good ideas, that's got a little punchline, that's got a story, that's got visuals, that's, you know, that is incredibly creative. And that's, and I don't think that people ever think, you know, they just go, oh, it's just social media, so that's like a thing that's over there,
right,
that's different. But to me, looking at those thing, you know, the things that people create, the videos that people create, I feel like they are really creative, because I couldn't do them. You know, I'm now my creative outlet in a traditional sense is pottery. Now, I'm super amateur compared to you. I could not create a dinner service in 3 hours. I could make lots of wobbly pots in 3 hours, but not a dinner service that you could eat off necessarily. But it really feeds my soul. It really, really connects me with myself. And I certainly, you know, when I'm throwing, like the time just disappears completely, and it does become like meditation. And I wonder if those kids who are making TikTok videos, or, you know, people who are cooking a beautiful meal, or, you know, creating a garden, everybody who has this sort of little creative thing, they lose themselves in it. Mm-hmm. Is that something that, because so when I think of creativity, I think of this like the self kind of dropping away and just being, just doing, just in that moment of creation. Now, obviously, if you're creating a TikTok or something, you've had to think about it and plan it. If you're, you know, an architect, you've got to really kind of get your shit together and work it, you know, do some serious planning. So where do you lie on this kind of spontaneous sort of, or this sort of in the moment thing versus because your definition of creativity being like you're creative as you just find solutions in life to navigate your way through life, that you do instinctively. So there's an instinctive creativity, which is you put yourself in a place in order to create and then lose yourself within it, or you trying to navigate your way across Amsterdam without killing anybody. And, you know, you're creative in that way. But then there's a very mindful creativity as well.
Well, I think that, so let's back up for a minute. So I can throw a dinner service in 3 hours because I've been a potter for 30 years. Mm. I have a skill set that I practice. Like, you know, after a year or two, I could not throw a dinner service like in 3 hours,
no.
You know, And I think that, you know, that's something that we always forget, that we like to think, and there is a part of creativity. And it's just like, you know, when I go back to this idea of meditation or yoga, or you must practice, if you want your meditation, if you want your yoga, if you want your creativity, if you want whatever skill set you want to be at your fingertips, You have to practice it to get it there. You cannot just think that it's going to come magically to you. You know, it doesn't. It's a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
So I think on the one side, yes, we do have this innate ability within each of us to have this instinctual aspect of creativity. So that's why with some people, it works quicker. And some people, it doesn't. And some people have to practice more and some people have to practice less. But if you want it to be more accessible to you, as with anything else that you would have to learn, you have to practice it and it has to become a skill set, then that's second nature, right? So, and then all of that knowledge is like stored in another part of your brain. Mm. And, you know, I'm very capable of boring to tears anyone at a party about the like different clay bodies and glazes and firings and just basically crying. You know, people will be like, I really need another drink and to get far away from this crazy moment. You know, because yeah, there's a lot of creativity, but there's a lot of knowledge.
Knowledge, yeah.
Yeah. And so, and you know, it's like with your yoga, like I love taking my yoga classes and I'm so grateful to have teachers that have, you know, so much knowledge that I don't have. Like, I just don't have that knowledge about the body and the asanas and, you know, the patience to teach people. And I'm just like, oh, I'm always so grateful about that. And I've made a choice that even though, you know, I'm just not going to practice yoga enough so that I can be that kind of teacher, right? That's just not going to happen because I'm busy practicing creativity in a different way. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm busy growing a skill set in a different way. So I think that's a really important distinction. And I really caution everyone who, you know, wants to go in and like teach this idea that, you know, creativity only happens in spontaneous ways. Mm. We have to practice the discipline of it. You have to practice the planning of it. You have to, you know, practice the collaboration of it. You know, all of these things go into creating a much broader, richer moment of our creativity, right? So, yeah. But you can have these other moments that you talk about when you're in that particular zone, mm-hmm. right? When you're throwing, when you're painting, when you're singing, when you're running, when you're swimming, and you're just like, you know, you get to be there because you practiced, because you've gotten a certain level of skills, like wherever you are, either in the beginning or in, you know, a very advanced, you know, 50-year experience of whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, you always get to access that if you open yourself up to the possibility of accessing it. And so that's why I think it's really interesting, you know, that, you know, the sacral chakra, you know, has, or, you know, has this, you know, base of creativity, right? So, you know, that's where it sits, because it's also then, you know, just the very core of who we are and how we, you know, need to, you know, be in the world. So I think it's also interesting to think about those moments when we're not connected to our creativity, when we're not connected to maybe that base chakra and what that feels like. Mm-hmm. And how, like, when I think about those times when I've ignored my creativity because I thought there was too much going on in my life and I couldn't make time for it, right? I couldn't make time to go to the studio. I couldn't make time to draw. I couldn't make time to, you know, do anything creative. And there have been those moments in my life. They're a very sad time in my life. Mm-hmm. You know? It's a very sad, and things get harder. You know, because.
So why is that? So why do you think that is, that if you don't give yourself the time and the space to be creative and to have those times for yourself, and life gets stuck and you just feel kind of blah, you know, why is that? What is it within us that requires that creativity to feel alive and feel like yourself, more, most importantly?
Well, I think it creates energy, right? I mean, I think it creates the energy which helps us to, like, get through these really tough moments. And probably if, like, I know for myself, when I was going through these really difficult situations in my life, like, I needed my creativity to be able to help me problem solve. And so the more I could tie myself into that. So this is the lesson. Like, when I finally went back and, like, figured out how to create time to, you know, to have that, you know, daily meditation, to have that creativity, you know, alive in my life, I was able to problem solve quicker, right? I was able to get through the hard parts of my life quicker. You know, I could find the solutions I needed to find. Where, you know, when I've not allowed myself that space, then how can you find those solutions? You just keep spiraling down. And then, you know, maybe you start drinking a lot, or you start smoking cigarettes, or, mm-hmm. you know, you start yelling at your children. Like, you know, you just become, you have less skills to deal with the difficulty in your life. Mm-hmm. So that's why, for me, you know, creating space and teaching people how to connect to their creativity, I've decided it's the most radical thing I can now do in my life.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking about how, you know, what you've just said and applying it to my own life, and thinking that, you know, I basically went through my whole adult life thinking I wasn't creative. And yes, I was a cook for, you know, caterer for quite some time. And that is in itself quite a creative mm-hmm. thing to do. But I never saw it as such. It was just like, this is something that I'm good at and I can do. But it was only when I started actually doing pottery, which to me mm-hmm. is a very creative thing. And I started doing that, oh gosh, probably like the beginning of 2018 or something like that. Mm-hmm. That it really began, it did begin to open up a whole different way of me feeling about myself and sort of, I don't know, it's hard to put your finger on it. It's difficult to sort of be very specific about how it changed me, but I don't think that I would be where I am today if I hadn't have started doing that thing that I felt was creative, that it, you know, if I hadn't started doing pottery. You know, I was totally obsessed. I would go as many times as I was allowed to go to the studio. I just sit there at the wheel just creating. I mean, I can't tell you, I'd love you to come to my house one day. I wish I could gather together all the things that I've ever made in my life, you know, mm-hmm. in these brief years, because I just make and make and make and make and make. And, you know, I've also got cupboards full of wonky bowls and things. But I honestly don't think that I would be where I am creating this course, creating this podcast, you know, pushing myself out and trying to spread, you know, this knowledge of the chakras, this wisdom of the energy centers that we have within us. I don't think I'd be doing it if I hadn't started doing that.
Yeah, no. And I think there's a, like, I totally agree with you in that. I think that there's absolutely this, you know, the other side of the coin is, you know, creativity, right? So I've had a similar experience with, you know, being in the nonprofit world and being in leadership. And then, you know, I started to look at all the things that I did together. And I was like, oh, wait, so the same time I co-founded an environmental organization, I also co-founded an arts organization. Wow, imagine. Yeah. That happening at exactly the same time, literally, like, within days of each other. So I, you know, I absolutely think for myself, and I think for everyone, it's like, the more we have the connection to creativity and our ability to, you know, actually create artwork, however broadly you want to define that, then the more we have access to solve these other problems in the world and in our lives, right? Mm-hmm. So I can't see that I would have done the work that I did in energy and mentorship and leadership without having this really strong base in creativity and art making. And I think it it has to be tied to art making too, because it's not just thinking of stuff. It's actually going through the process of learning to make, right? So whatever it is you're learning to make, I think that gives you this other set of skills, from discipline to planning to collaboration to, you know, like things that seem like really, really boring and not necessary. But you can actually get from making like a bowl from, you know, you have to choose your clay, you have to wedge your clay, you have to choose which wheel you're going to use. You know, like there's all these decisions you have to make, mm-hmm. knowing that I'm going to make a bowl that's going to look like this, that's going to be used for this. And then I'm going to have to fire it in a certain way, right? So there's just so much information, and that's with all of the creative processes. That's with everything that we have to learn how to do and learn how to create in ways that's useful to ourselves as humans.
Yeah.
And then all of that practice for creating that thing then gets to be translated into how you create for teaching, how you create for, you know, taking, you know, all of this like super information that you have around the chakras and figuring out how to share it with other people.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess that that's that same principle is the same for, you know, is for everyone. And I guess this is what your course that you're developing is basically that's the basic premise of your course. Am I right? Tell me a little bit.
That's exactly right. Is yeah. that, you know, like you looking back at my life, it's like, you know, like what we just talked about, that I realized that I couldn't actually get from, you know, solving all of these big problems around energy and sustainability without being able to, you know, solve like these creative and artistic problems in my artwork. So I think that there's a real great roadmap that artists have, that if we can share that with people, of how to solve some of the biggest problems that we have in the world today.
I just think this is wonderful. I think it's such, I don't know, it simultaneously feels really original, but really obvious.
I know you're just like duh.
But it's not in the common, that's not a, you know, it's not a sort of a commonly thought process, this what you're doing, which is why I think it's really, really exciting that this idea of creativity will facilitate itself and reflect itself throughout your entire life, and accessing it in whichever way works for you is something that's not only important to do, but necessary.
Yeah. And I think that throughout history, like we can see that there have been like really great high achieving leaders. And then we find out, like, do you know, secretly they were like a painter or a poet or, yes. you know, it was like, because yes. we can't be out about like our creativity because it's not like real, you know, it's not like, it doesn't, you know, we can't translate it into some sort of like commercial venture. So therefore it has no value, yeah. you know, if we can't find that, you know, commercial value in it, then, well, that's just. It's just something we don't talk about.
Yeah, that's so true. So you're absolutely right. I'm trying to think, but I know that there have been various prime ministers and so on who've come out, you know, that, oh, a secret painter, yeah, watercolors and what have you. But the art, I mean,
for goodness sakes, George Bush has now become this like painter, you know, and so has, you know, President Biden's son. So you're just like, oh, this is interesting, you know. Yeah. So, I mean, Seth Rogen has become a potter and like he's like throwing bongs. I mean, it's like
Of course he is.
I know. I'm kind of like, ooh, why didn't I think about that? But I was busy teaching kids how not to throw bongs and trying to get them not to throw bongs. Please don't throw bongs. I know what they look like.
Oh God, that's so funny. That's brilliant. Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that, but the art world in its like the sort of, you know, in inverted commas, the art world, you know, the commercial yeah. art world has become such a massive industry and business, and you know, it's very, very hard to get into. You know, if you are an artist who wants to make a living being an artist, I think that takes a whole different level, because somehow, I don't know, I feel like the creativity sometimes gets taken out of that and the business sort of gets inserted. But I mean, maybe I'm
right.
Rubbish, but.
Well, no, I think it's really true. And I think it's one of those things where I think it can just kind of, you know, take over. And especially, you know, when you see people, you know, that are just doing like conceptual work, right? And so, I mean, that's its whole different like rabbit hole that we could go down. But I mean, I'll just say that if more people connect to their creativity and see it as another way in which they can become better teachers, leaders, business people, scientists, you know, whatever it is that
better people,
others, oh. Better people, like, right, exactly. Better people. And that we don't need to always, you know, make something commercially viable in order for it to be okay. And if you have a big enough house where you can live with a ton of pottery in your life and giving it, or a bunch of scarves, or, you know, whatever you sew or knit or paint or, you know, whatever, then I think that we will just become better problem solvers, and we'll become better collaborators, and we'll become, you know, those people who will be able to get humanity to the next level that we need to get to, you know, without like crashing and burning, because we'll be able to solve these problems. We'll be able to connect to the creativity that is within each one of us and rise above this primordial soup that we're in.
Thank you, Amelia. I mean, you've finished yourself there so perfectly with that. So thank you so much for joining me. And take care. Happy journeys. And I'm
okay. Thanks, Roseanne.
Thank you so much for listening to our chat around the sacral chakra, and I really hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Please have a look in the show notes for all the links to Amelia's podcast and all her contact details. And also in the show notes, you'll find all my contact details. I'm always so happy to hear from you. I now have listeners coming to my Zoom yoga classes, joining the course, and just generally getting in touch. So don't be shy. I love to hear from you. All the feedback, good or bad, is super welcome. And I should be back in another couple of weeks with another chakra chat. So until then, take care and carry on enjoying the meditations. Om Shanti.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.